The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. So today we celebrate this feast called the Baptism of the Lord. And it gives us a chance not to only think about when Jesus got baptized, but also to remember that we got baptized too. Have you all been baptized? Put your hand up if you've been baptized. Let's take a look out here. How many people have been baptized? Boy, it looks like a lot of people. Anybody still waiting to be baptized? Well, I guess we're not going to have a baptism today then. You know what? When we remember our baptism, we can remember our baptism in a lot of ways. Whenever we see water. Martin Luther said that when he got up in the morning, he would always remember that he was baptized, because that's the only way you're going to get through the day. And he would get up in the morning and he would do this. Would you do that? Do that, what I just did. Put a cross on your forehead, because when you got baptized, there was a cross put on your forehead. And Martin Luther said every day, he'd say, Martin, you are a baptized child of God. So I do that too. I get up every morning, and when my feet hit the floor as I get out of bed, I make a cross on my forehead and I say, I am a baptized child of God. Because, you know, if you're baptized, nothing can separate you from God's love. And that's an important thing to remember. So that's one way that we can remember that we are baptized children of God, just by reminding ourselves every single day saying that. The other thing he did is when he'd wash his face, the first water that he splashed on his face, he would say, I'm baptized. He would remember that water of baptism. I had a professor in seminary who was always saying that. He was always saying, remember your baptism, remember your baptism. And he, whenever it would be a little rainy or something, he would say, oh, remember your baptism. Well, one day I was walking across the parking lot holding my umbrella in the wind and the rain, and he was trying to get into his car, and he had his briefcase and he had some books and he had his key, and he dropped his books in the water. And I couldn't help myself. As I walked by, what did I say to him? I did. Let's go back and look at this baptism font. Because another way to remember our baptism is to look at the font, the place where we were baptized. Some of you were baptized with water from this font. How many of you were baptized at this church? Cameron was, Chloe was, Danielle, Lily, you're baptized at this church and from this font. And this water, sometimes we remember that we're baptized by touching the water and making a cross on our forehead. You can do that. Touch the water and say, I'm a baptized child of God.
I'm a baptized child of God.
And you can do that anytime, any Sunday, any day you come into church, anytime you see water, just remember, I'm a baptized child of God. This is fresh water, not the water that was in here when you got baptized. It's new water. It's new water. We put right. That would have been too old. So,
I thought it was oil.
Oh, and there's also oil that we use at baptism too. But I didn't bring any of that back here. But water first, and then oil to remind us that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and then the candle that we light a candle. Do you know where your baptism candles are? You all got one when you got baptized. There is a candle that we remember that we're baptized. And, you know, Christians really liked that idea of remembering that they were baptized, and they would light their baptism candle. And then when we started forgetting that we were Christian baptized, but we still like to remember the days with our birth, people started putting candles on cakes. Did you ever have candle on a cake? When?
On your birthday.
Well, we have a candle on our birthday into God's family, and that's where that tradition started, from the baptism candle. It ended up to be a birthday candle. Yeah. So when you see a birthday candle, that's also a reminder that you are a baptized child of God.
Where did you find
this shell? Oh, it was here when I came. I found it when I came here. It's here. It's a real shell. Let's sing and go off to Sunday school.
The first reading is from Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord
breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness
of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Acts. Now when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily, in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's wonderful that we started our service with a thanksgiving for baptism, and then having the opportunity to help the littlest ones of our congregation to remember their baptism. This celebration day, this day of remembering the baptism of the Lord, is a good day to remember our own baptisms as well. The gospel proclamation that we heard, and those most comforting and encouraging words from God spoken to Jesus at the time of his baptism, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Listen to those words in your own name, in your own place. This is my Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Remember, the water was poured over you, and those words were spoken. Remember, you, Sarah, you, Carlos, you, Richard, you, each of you, you are my Beloved. You, in whom I am well pleased. You know, names are pretty important in the celebration of baptism. In your baptism, you are called by name. We don't baptize without a name. We always give a name. In fact, some people call baptism christening. Have you ever heard that? And they call it for a couple reasons. Because that's when a person would be given their Christian name. I told the story on Thursday or Wednesday night when we had our midweek service that I was baptized the moment I was born. I was an at-risk preemie baby, and I was born in a Catholic hospital where the tradition was if they didn't think that this child was going to be able to live long enough to get to a church to get baptized, they would baptize immediately. So I was baptized within the first 2 minutes I was born. And I think that the nurse that baptized me, they used the same name forever. You know, if you're a boy, you get named Joseph Michael, and if you're a girl, you get named Mary Catherine. And so I was baptized the minute I was born, and I was baptized with the name of Mary Catherine. And when my parents took me to the church to have the rest of the ceremony of baptism supplied for me a month later, my parents had chosen the name Karen, which isn't quite a saint name in the Catholic Church. You had to have lived a holy life and been written in that book of life proclaimed in order to have a Christian name. So Karen wasn't quite Christian enough. So I was baptized Catherine Mary. that name ended up on my baptism certificate when they did the... They didn't pour water again, because you only pour water once. But the candle and the oil and the ceremony, the white garment and all of that was done under the name of Mary Catherine. Catherine Mary. So Names are really important. And the thing about baptism is that when you are baptized, God calls you by name. God knows who you are. And our names are forever joined to God's name. That we are the beloved children of God, sons and daughters, the siblings of one another, related to God forever. And this is certainly good news. And it's good news, but we know that no matter how wonderful and precious that is, that we are named by God and held in that embrace, that our lives are not going to be perfect. We might want and we pray for a life of joy and health and peace, but we know also that we are human beings and we will face pain and loss and sorrow. We know, as the prophet Isaiah knew, that faith does not protect us from the realities of life, that the baptized, like all human beings, will pass through the waters of hardship, that we will cross the rivers of life's pains, that we will walk through the fires of being human. But we also know that God knows our name, that God created us and formed us and redeemed us and called us by name. God will never forget us, will never leave us alone, that comes to stand with us and will be with us at every turn. It's this that God, through the prophet Isaiah, promises to all the baptized, to you and to me. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Just as I was saying this, I recalled an event. I've called you by name and I know you. A number of years ago, our 2-year-old preschool class, they sit right here during our chapel time. And I always start our chapel time saying that we are in God's house. And the children respond, and Jesus is the light of the world. Well, right after chapel one day, probably early in September or October, I went out, leaving the chapel, going back to my office, go through the preschool play yard, and there was a little child, one of the 2 or 3-year-olds, down on his knees, and he'd found those little bugs that roll up in a ball. Roly-poly. And he was looking at it, and so I noticed this, so I got down next to him, and I said, "Michael, what are you looking at?" And he just stopped. And he just stood there like he was frozen. And I said, "It looks like you found a roly-poly." And then I turned, so I just left him. And as I walked into my office, he ran over to his teacher and he said, "God was talking to me." and she knows my name. Well, I told my husband that. I went home and I told him, and he said, "Yeah, don't let it go to your head. He's only 2. But the importance of, "And she knows my name," that was so important to that child. That we are, and God knows our name too. God knows our name. And through the prophet Isaiah, this promise has been made to you by your name. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not consume you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. What a profound and beautiful promise that is. In baptism, God holds us close and says, "I know this one. I've called this one by name. This one belongs to me." Fear not. I know you by name. No one can deny that we live in a hard and dangerous world. No one can say what will happen in the economy, and when the government will get back to work, or what will happen to the earth itself. It would be a lie for anyone to say that they know exactly when terror will strike next, or exactly what to do to prevent that. God does not promise to lift us out of the surging waters of life. But what God says is that we will not be alone. God formed us in the womb. God knows the number of the hairs on our head. God calls us by name. And when we go through, as we go through life's waters, God will be with us. When all hell breaks out around us, there is God holding our hand, calling us by name, reassuring us of God's presence. There's a story told by Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen is a renowned theologian and author. And he once told some of his friends that he had been plagued by a recurring dream. And every night for this long days in a row, he had this bad dream. And in the dream, he came upon an old friend from school, someone he hadn't seen for a long time. And this friend said to him, "So, Henry, what have you done with your life?" The next night, he had the same dream, the same friend, meeting someone he hadn't seen for a long time. And in his dream, the friend says, "So, Henry, what have you done with your life?" And then one night he had a different dream. And in this dream, he died. And he's at the pearly gates, and he's waiting to get into the throne room to meet with God. And he is terrified, because remembering this, how he felt when this friend said, "So, Henry, what have you done with your life?" He was expecting that same question, but this time to come from God. He was paralyzed in his fear, in his dream. But that dream took a different turn. When the door to God's throne room opened up, the room was filled with soft light, and God spoke to him in a gentle voice and said, "Henry, it's good to see you. I heard that you had a rough trip, but I do want to see your slides." I imagine that one of God's favorite sentences is, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." So you, newly baptized or old baptized, still waiting to be baptized, you, children of God, fear not. For God says to you, as he said to his son Jesus at his baptism, and to every baptized person, God says, "I know you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I really like the tapestry that hangs in our narthex. It is the Don Snowden Memorial Tapestry. He died in 2015 on the feast of the baptism of Jesus. The image of that is on the front of your bulletin. The picture of that tapestry. That tapestry is a copy of a much larger one that hangs in the Catholic Cathedral Our Lady of the Angels in Los Angeles. It's the center panel of five tapestries. They're 47 feet long, and I think I put a note. I don't know how wide they are. They cover the whole back of the church, these five above the tapestries. The center tapestry is the image that you see on the front of your bulletin, and the two on either side are the continuation of the desert ground and the waters, beautifully woven tans and blues. They show that outer, the Jordan River. So take a look at that picture on your bulletin. John is facing us in this image of the baptism of Jesus. And it seems like he's kind of floating in the midst of all the water around him. John is dressed in simple clothing, and his hair is dark and messy. And he has a serious look, a look of concentration on his face. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's wonder. And at his feet, Jesus is kneeling down, sitting back on his heels. The bottoms of his feet are dirty and calloused. Around his waist is a simple cloth. White fabric. All you see of Jesus is that strong back, his bowed head. The way his arms are, it looks like his hands would be folded in his lap. And John is tipping a small bowl over Jesus' head as water pours down. It's a lovely tapestry, so simple, with humility and peace woven into the fabric. There's no dove. There's no ripped open heaven. And you can see, you can almost hear God's voice. This is my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. When I saw this tapestry for the first time, I wished that the artist had reversed the two characters, that we were looking at it from the other side, because I wanted to see Jesus' face. But the more I looked at it, I think he did it just right. The baptism of Jesus tells us and shows us so clearly who Jesus is. And as we recall today that event, we hear the truth of who Jesus is. And because we are his brothers and sisters, the siblings of Jesus, we also hear the truth of who we are. We hear the truth of who we are. Jesus' baptism provides a sign of who Jesus is, who God says Jesus is. And our baptism is a sign that we also belong to God. And we also are who God says we are, God's children. We who have put on Christ are claimed as God has sought and claimed human beings since the beginning of time. We are part of that wonderful story of God's chosen people, redeemed, called by name, claimed by God. We can't see Jesus' face in that baptismal tapestry, especially when we're gazing at it, at the back wall of the cathedral or in our narthex. But when we turn around to face the front, the doors of the church, to see out, to see the world and the people in it, when we are facing outward, that's where we see the face of Jesus. So remember your baptism. Trust in that promise. Remember that in baptism, you are marked with the sign of the cross, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and sent into the world to be the face of Jesus, to share in God's love and in word and in deed. You are the face of Jesus in the world. And let me recommend to you, as I did to the little children, to remember your baptism every day. The minute your feet touch the floor, let your fingers touch your forehead and remind yourself that you are a beloved child of God, that you are baptized, that you are marked with that cross of Christ, and that God knows your name and holds you his beloved. Amen.